Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
8:12 on Wisconsin's Morning News this Tuesday morning. The proposal, free meals for all. Dr. Jill Underley is Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Wisconsin. She has included in her proposed biennial budget request to the state nearly $300 million in state funds that would be spent providing breakfast and lunch to all public school students regardless of need. Dr. Underley joined WTMJ's Brian Noonan on Spanning the State Monday to make the case.
For a lot of kids in Wisconsin, and our survey shows 1 in 4 kids in high school, they don't know, you know, if they're going to be able to get their meal. And schools are filling that need.
So we'll get into the controversy here as I work through a series of statements that Dr. Underley made in her conversation with Noonan, acknowledging, as she said, 25% of high schoolers across the state reporting food insecurity, as it's often called. You have a question. I know you have a question. It is also my question. We are going to get to it. First, though, again, want to give you a little bit more from the state superintendent. Dr. Underley making the case for well-fed students being high-performing students.
The practice that we feed kids on days of assessments, like when we're doing our state tests, we're feeding kids breakfast. You know, when we do our ACT at school, we're giving kids breakfast and lunch. And why is that? Well, because we know that they can't concentrate and do their best on their exams if they're thinking about food.
So I got a lot of teachers in the family. My kids are in high school also. You've got high schoolers.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did you know that on the big test days, they activate like free breakfast, free lunch again for all?
I did not know that. And I don't know if the kids knew that either.
They do it just to make sure. So if for whatever reason, and this isn't need-based, if for whatever reason, if your family is just fine off economically, but some kid goes to school and didn't eat breakfast, they want to make sure that kid has a breakfast bar or something.
Need,
so there's something in the tummy.
Need a good score on that test.
Exactly. Yeah. So when the stakes are high, that's what they do. If it's good, then why isn't that best practice always? Underley points out Wisconsin did do this during the pandemic as well.
The burden it took off me as a working mom to not have to run around in the morning and making sure that their lunches were packed and making sure that they were out the door, we got extra time together in the morning because I knew that if I got them to school, they would have breakfast, they'd be ready for their first period class. And then at lunch, you know, they every kid belongs.
So I said your question is my question. If we know it's a quarter of the students who have food insecurity, why don't we do a better job of taking care of that? Serving those who truly have need and make this a $75 million proposal instead of a $300 million proposal, buying breakfast and lunch for families that can otherwise afford it on their own. That's the question. And I admit I have a mixed reaction. So one of the things that Dr. Underley says, and then we'll get a little bit more into it, her answer to folks who have exactly that question is, well, there are a lot of things that we provide regardless of economic need in public education.
I don't call up a family and be like, hey, how much gas do you have in your tank before I pick your kid up on the school bus? Because I want to make sure that I'm only picking up kids whose parents can't take them to school. I mean, that's it. That's nonsense.
So that's her response to the question of, well, why aren't we doing this based solely on economic need? Another response that she had was even those who do qualify, some families who may qualify economically, either do not or cannot, for a number of reasons, go through the necessary paperwork. They just don't. And so they are kids who might qualify for free and reduced lunch, which we already have in the state available for those based on economic need.
Right.
They know there are families who don't do that, and those kids then are put in a position where they're not able to eat when it could be there for them. So I've laid out for you all of her arguments for. I still have that lingering question for me as a taxpayer and as someone who can, you know, we can afford to feed
our
kids. I can afford to send them to school or to pay whatever it is for school lunch. And so I almost look at it like I wonder where the motivation is of Why are we trying to buy things for people who don't need things to be bought for them?
The school bus analogy is interesting. However, I would say, you know what? We're struggling to find school bus drivers all the time. So we can't even get people to school on time sometimes. And there are buses that are shut down or not being used and routes that are combined and consolidated and kids getting to school late or getting home late or not getting to places because we don't have school bus drivers. So to suggest that those are one and the same. Why don't we put more money toward that then and make sure that we actually have drivers that can get kids to school versus this? That would be one reaction to the school bus analogy.
Also, in terms of school funding, look around the state. How many communities are going to referendum to keep the lights on right now?
Right.
I mean, we're going to be well north, I would predict, and I have to look into it, but Madison's over $500 million in their referendum proposal alone. We've got to be over $1 billion in attempts for school districts across the state to raise taxes in order to perform, in many cases, basic functions, and others, they're building referenda and such. Can we afford to be buying lunch for people who can otherwise afford it for their children when we apparently can't even operate our school districts as is? With all of these districts going to referendum saying we need more.
But then, you know, and then go back the other way. Then I'm sure there are times, I mean, I know you know it for sure because we've done stories on it. I know we've seen it up close too. There are families that aren't eating. There are kids that may even have access to, or at least their family is affluent enough to provide meals that don't. There are kids that show up to school with a string cheese and that's it. Like that does happen. There are examples of that. So being able to provide an easier opportunity for people to get sustenance, I get it. I understand the thought.
It's an interesting counterpoint because economic need might not be the only need in that family. Just because you got money in the checkbook or in your checking account doesn't mean you got food in the fridge. Doesn't mean, one, that the parents have done what you would expect them to do, make sure that kid is going to school having had breakfast, make sure the kid is going to school with a lunch or with lunch money. Also, what did you say the other day? Driving the kids to school, you got eighth graders walking around with no coat.
Oh,
it's 40 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
They have a coat. They just didn't wear it. So that kid's going to show up. So there might be food in the fridge. Your kid doesn't eat, right? So then they're going to school. They're challenged in learning because they just didn't for whatever reason. I guess that's another counterpoint.
And there's another fear, too, of like, you know, one of the things you think of is, okay, yeah, will that be wasted money and how much wasted food? You know what I mean? Like there's all these things kind of circulating around there. Ultimately, to expect this to pass the budget, I mean, the odds are low, right? That this would actually get through the final plan.
I believe it was proposed in the last budget cycle, and you have Republicans in charge of both the Senate and the Assembly, and it was cut out of the budget that last time. So depending on what we see on November 5th, whether or not there's a shift in control for either of those bodies, that might depend on what I have a hard time believing that Republicans would all of a sudden buy into all of the arguments just laid out.
It is an interesting debate because, I mean, even in counties that you would not expect it, there are a lot of food insecurities, believe it or not.
Well, I just mentioned I was the MC for Blessings in a Backpack, their annual gala, which serves students in need in Waukesha County and primarily the city of Waukesha. And it raises a lot of eyebrows right away. Like, Waukesha, that's a more affluent county. I would have expected this was somewhere else. And they say, you know, they have one school in the city of Waukesha where the principal was there and he said the vast majority of his students are on free or reduced lunch. So it's already there. Again, it does beg a fair question of then why don't we do a better job of serving those students with that economic need, shore that up, which any compassionate person can say money well spent, versus then buying food for kids who don't necessarily need it. The counter being, of course, if you know this gets results and you know better fed students are better educated and better performing students, does it not pay dividends down the road ultimately regardless?
Good point.
Can't figure out which way I come down.
I know. Yeah, you're right.
Good arguments on both sides. 821 on Wisconsin's Morning News.